Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. Good to see you joining us online. We've had our worship, we've had some tears, we've had some good news, and we've taken an offering. It's been a good morning so far. New song, but it's been good now. It's time to get into the Word. So welcome if you're joining us for the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your Word. We thank you for the freedom we have to gather around your Word. Thank you that we can come together as your local church to focus on the truths that we find in your Word. Hallelujah, that they are the agents to permanent change in our lives. Thank you that it's through understanding the Word that we can renew our minds, that we can see transformation in our lives. So we thank you for this process of mind renewal through the Word of God. So we thank you for these seeds we're about to plant. Thank you for the ground that these seeds are about to be thrown onto. And we speak our understanding in accordance with your scripture. Speak our understanding so your seeds are understood, the word is understood, and the seeds are not stolen. And then go on to produce the fruit that we all desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn for the last time in this series to Psalm 23. Yes, I'm going to do the whole verse. And I want to. I'm kind of scratching the surface of it. There's lots more to Luke, but we are going to finish our Whosoever series this morning, I think. So I wonder what we're going to be on next week. Hallelujah. It was interesting. I looked back at the first lesson and I said, I've got a mini series for a couple of weeks. And that's 16 lessons. That is a bit of a mini series for me. So anyway. So Psalm 23, let's read it. Awesome, awesome passage of scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Coming to the end of this series, it's one that I've absolutely loved, looking at what we are as a whosoever, what we have in Christ, what we have through Christ, what we have because of the finished work of Jesus, not because of our goodness, but because of his goodness. Nothing to do with our performance, but his performance. And it's awesome. And in the second half of this series, I've worked through Psalm 23. I was doing the series about you are a whosoever, and I read that psalm, and I thought, that's just about us under the new covenant. That's us as a whosoever. The Lord is a whosoever's shepherd. That whosoever shall not want. It's been great. Wonderful truths, wonderful promises about what we have under the new covenant. Living under grace. This is what we have right now. Yes, written in the Old Testament, written as a prophecy, written as a promise, but written for us today. And we can read that today and say, that is me. That is for me, that is for my family, that is for my church. And I was coming to the realization that we need to be speaking this out. You know I'm a great believer in declarations and declarations of appropriation, like the one I've got for prosperity. But this Psalm 23, that's a declaration of appropriation. We should be speaking that out, especially that last verse that I'm going to do today. Actually, sorry, my head's missing. There we are. That's better. Yes, this is a declaration. Speaking it out. We're singing it out today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a Charlie and Jill, isn't it? Their music is awesome. All just scripture. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've been loving looking at this familiar passage. Because we all know it. But we don't know it. There's so much depth in this. Layer upon layer of meaning. And I've loved it looking at it, seeing what I have living under grace, and I've loved teaching it to show you what you have under grace. And I just love it that this was written under a different covenant. This was written by a guy, David, who was living under the old covenant. But he knew what was coming. And he was in an awesome covenant relationship to him with his Lord. But what about our covenant relationship? So much better than David had. And David wrote so much good things from his covenant. We are way more blessed. But anyway, Psalm 23, verse 6. And yeah, we were singing the start of it. Surely, and I've managed to go 10 lessons preaching from Psalm 23 without doing my airplane joke. So I won't do that. I've managed to keep that down. But every time I read verse 6, never mind. So verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh. Here we come to the close. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come to the close of this short, but just, I hope you see an amazing psalm. Just wonderful. And this verse at the end kind of sums up the whole psalm for me. It's all about abundance, all about goodness, all about what we have. And it's a statement of intent and of faith and of positivity. And 100% certainty that what he's writing is true. And we need to have that as whosoever. Have that 100% certainty that what we read is for us. You know, when we read, by his stripes I have been healed. What sort of percentage do we believe that on that scale? When he says we're all prosperous, where are we on that percentage scale? Will 50% believe it, 70%, 100%? I'm not sure that's questions all for each one of us. And I've said that's a statement, that verse 6 is a statement that we should be speaking out. I'm going to start speaking that out daily over my life. Until I 100% believe it. You see, it starts with the word surely. In the Hebrew, that means with certainty. So it is certain that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is certain that is the case. That's what that word surely means. Is it, of course, David's saying, of course his goodness and mercy shall follow us. Of course his goodness and loving kindness is going to follow me. Of course it is. It can't be anything but. And this is written by a guy who had some pretty hard times, didn't he? Some really hard times. Of course we will dwell in the house of the Lord. And that is certain. That will surely happen. Now let's look at the Hebrew. Hebrew for goodness is quite easy to understand. It's goodness. Okay? So sometimes the words are easy to understand. Sometimes the English is good. Mercy is to do with loving kindness. It's got a few other meanings, but that to me is the one that does it. It says, God has mercy towards us. He has loving kindness. That's awesome. And David says, that goodness, God's goodness, that God's loving kindness will follow us all the time. Be there for us all the time. Now that is a comfort, isn't it? And a wonderful truth. I was then brought to try and explain what this means. Go to Deuteronomy 28. And I'm just going to read the start of 28, the blessings. You can read all the curses if you want to, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to read the blessings, all right? Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all his blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. You're going to be blessed wherever you are. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of the cattle and increase of the kine and the flocks of the sheep. Whatever you do, you're going to be blessed by the work of your hands. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Whatever you do, you're going to be blessed. That's what that's saying. A promise of blessings. Now, I agree. We read this is under the old covenant, and there were conditions attached. Can you see that? For these blessings, if you wanted the blessings in 2 to 6, you had to do one. One comes before two, yes? So you had to do that. And then you would get the blessings. But we don't live under that covenant. That was the old covenant. We live under the new covenant. So I don't want to talk about all those conditions under the old, but I want to talk about the blessings, not how they were achieved. Because you see, those blessings from God are the same. God never changes. This is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the blessings that were there available under the old covenant, if you did A, B, and C, those blessings are there for us under the new covenant. And what do we have to do to get those blessings? Absolutely zero. Other than believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you that. So, I want to show you about the blessings. Under the old covenant, yes, they had to do things to be blessed. Under the new covenant, we are already blessed. Here we go. Every week. Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3. We have all spiritual blessings, all we need for life and godliness already. The blessings are already there. Did we speak about that last week? Probably. Probably spoke about it the week before as well. Probably spoke about it the week before that. They're my verses at the minute. Anyway. So, we see under the old covenant, there were conditions, none under the new covenant. So, that verse 2, we can almost, as it were, pick it out and put it under the new covenant. Because you'll see, there are verses that confirm that, Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3. So that blessings are still for us. We just don't have to do any of the conditions. See where I'm coming from? I'm trying to explain this. So what does that verse 2 mean? It says, the blessings will come upon you and overtake you. And the picture for this speaks to me as like a wave crashing over you on the beach. You go into the water, you stand with your back to it, and it, you know, you can't see the wave coming, but you can maybe hear it, you can feel it, and then this wave just crashes over you and soaks you with water. And that is the picture behind verse 2 here. These blessings are like waves that can crash upon you and soak you with blessings. It's awesome. Wave after wave after wave of blessings. But Vic, that's not exactly what I'm seeing in my life right now. I'm a born-again believer. I believe I'm all living under the new covenant. But I'm just not seeing those or feeling those waves crashing upon me. It could be in areas of health and lack that people are struggling in, whatever area. Vic, I just don't see this goodness. I don't see this loving kindness. I don't feel these waves crashing upon me. Maybe I think I have to do something. Maybe I have to do something in order to be like those old covenant saints. I got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There's not enough letters in the alphabet for what the guys in the old covenant had to do. Maybe I have to do some of them. Maybe some of them are left over. Okay, I agree with some of the things you're saying there. There may be some areas in your life where you're not seeing that goodness, you're not seeing the loving kindness, you're not experiencing those waves crashing over you. And I was starting to ponder that sitting at my desk yesterday. And I saw a picture. I'm starting to get more pictures. It's really exciting. Maybe because I'm just seeing them now. I'm paying attention to them. Like, remember that time I didn't pay attention to that guy that I thought about? I needed to give him a mask, and then I saw him like an hour later at the beach. Maybe I need to start paying attention to what God's saying to me. Anyway, I saw this picture, and it was me walking along a road. Well, it wasn't so much a road. It was like a kind of dusty, stony kind of path road with grass and plains either side. And behind me was a stream of carts. Or wagons. You know, like you see in cowboy films. So, it was me walking along the road, and this stream of cabins, baggage, covered wagons, like you see in the cowboy films, behind me. And they were packed full of stuff. Right? So, I'm just walking along, this baggage train behind me. Came to a fork in the road, and I saw myself going to the left, and I saw the baggage carts going to the right. And I thought, that was weird. And I saw the drivers in the baggage cart trying to turn, but couldn't get to stay on the road. Now, I don't know if this is theologically sound, okay? And I'm just working through it myself, but it was a good picture that spoke to me, so I want to share it with you. What I saw before I came to the fork in the road were wagons of good things following me. And then, as it were, I took the wrong road. So the goodness stayed on the right road. You could say the correct road. I kind of peeled off and went on the left road, or the wrong road. What I saw, what the Lord was saying, that's that path that you've now gone on to, Vic, in that picture, that's areas of ungodliness. And areas where I am not. But if you stick on the right road, that's where I am. That's where my goodness is. Now, I know God never leaves us nor forsakes us. I know God is always with us. Sean, above, before, behind, in. I heard Carol shouting out, inside. Yes. So this picture is not exactly theologically sound, but it helped me explain why the goodness and mercy was following me and was there for me to have until I went on the wrong path and all this goodness was on the right path. Now I see the Christian walk as not just one walk. I see us on lots of different paths. So we're on one path when it's about healing, we're on one path when it's about acceptance, we're on one path on our understanding about forgiveness, we're on another path for our understanding about righteousness, a path for prosperity or poverty. All different areas of the Christian life, we're on different paths. And some of those paths are right in line with where God's walking, and some of their paths are in the opposite direction. Some of the paths are quite close. So when we say we're on the Christian walk, I don't think we're on a walk. We're on walks. Now, you could say that's what path we're on, or it's about what we understand, what we know, what doctrine we believe, what we're thinking, what we're speaking out. That's all these things that I'm talking about the path. Because we all know that. We see areas in our lives where we're seeing success. I'm seeing a fair bit of success in prosperity. I'm seeing some success in healing, not as much as I want. I feel like I am there, successful about understanding about righteousness. Do I really? I probably need to veer across to the right a little bit more when we're talking about compassion. You know, I've got to be honest, guys. You know, where are we? Where are we on these? And he says, well, that's probably not fair. No, it's. Did I speak about this a couple of weeks ago about compassion? Where I think I am good at being compassionate, where sometimes I judge people are worthy of compassion. But maybe some, you know, you've seen, I have a heart of compassion for edema. And maybe somebody else in this country who's. Anyway, let's not go there. But you know, we're all on different paths, aren't we? And some of us, loads of different paths in our lives in our Christian walk. So there are areas of our lives when we can just stand there and the goodness and the mercy crashes over us. And there are areas of our life when we're standing here and like the goodness and the mercy is crashing over there. Why is it not crashing on me? The tide's out. It's my... Well, we'll get to that later. No, it's nothing to do with it. You're just standing in the wrong place. You just need to walk further out. So there are areas of our lives where we don't seem to see this goodness and mercy. Could be on the wrong path. Need to alter the way we walk. Need to alter what we think. And then, bam, goodness and mercy comes on our lives. Let's go to Matthew 6 to try and use this to explain that a little bit better. I have to say, I've not really formulated this fully in my mind. But if any of you get any more revelations on it, that would be great. I'm still going to be working on it. But Matthew 6, verse 31. This is Jesus speaking, saying, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus telling people, don't be concerned about these physical things. Now, in this example, in this context, he's talking about food and drink and clothes. But I believe this is a more foundational, fundamental concept where Jesus is saying, don't think about the physical stuff. Don't think about the things of life or our body and things like that. For example, a home, possessions, career, a job, school exams, university places, husband, wife, physical things. Good things, yes. Good things, kind things. But don't go chasing after them. Seek the kingdom of God first. Seek his righteousness first. Seek the things of him, his truths, his love, his character. Spend time with him in prayer with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with the Word. Spend time with the local church. Get to know God. Seek things of him. Seek the things of the kingdom. Seek the things of righteousness. And that will get you on the right road. Amen. By seeking those things. And when you're on that right road, link it up with my picture, that's where the goodness, that's where the mercy is already been provided and waiting for us. So we don't go chasing the good things. Well, the kingdom of God and righteousness are good things. But you know what I mean? We don't go chasing those physical things. We chase the things of God, and once we are there with him, caught the things of God, and in the right place, then the provision that's already been provided. Elijah, where was his provision? There. Elijah's provision was there at the brook. He had to go to that place to get it, and then he was provided. The provision was there. That's another good picture. Just remember that. Learn of him. Be with him. In a sense, be on the road with him. And then once we're there with him and we've learned of him and we're understanding him and our doctrine's improved, bang. The blessings, the loving kindness, the goodness, they're there. These things are added unto us after we've understood the kingdom, after we've understood his righteousness. We don't go after those things. Here's the thing. They're added unto us. What does that mean? They come after us. If we're in the right place, they come after us. I love that. If we're on the right road, hopefully you can see that, tying that in with my picture. And it's not about works, oh no. You might be saying, okay, I need to do the right things to be on the right road. I need to do the right works. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not the case as we seek the kingdom and seek his righteousness and get in that right place. God says, ah, well done, Vic. Good boy. I see you're seeking my righteousness. I see you're seeking my kingdom. Here you are. Have my goodness. Have my loving kindness. Have my blessings. No, it doesn't work like that. They're already there. Are we just in the wrong place? Are we on the wrong path? Are we thinking the wrong things? Are we speaking out the wrong things? Do we have the wrong understanding and doctrine? See how these are all tied in? What I put there was, are we driving on the A95 while God's on the A96? We're just in the wrong place. Think back to the waves crashing over us. Like Michelle there saying, well, the tide might have been out. Yeah, we'll just walk out a bit further. The waves have not gone away. They're just further out. You need to be in the right place on the beach. You need to be on the right depth of water to get the waves to crash over you. I mean, surfers know that. They spend hours out on the water waiting for the right time, the right spot, and the right wave, and then they're on it to finish at the right place. It's the same on a beach. If you're not far enough out, they'll crash. Is that what they're called? Waves crash? Yeah. Before they hit you. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I love And I'm thinking about India now, where it's warm. I love being on the beach when it's warm. You know, and the water when it's warm. It's not like Rosyle or Lossie. I mean, it's freezing in August even there. But in India, the water is warm. And if you just get it right, you turn round, and these waves will just crash over. Just at head height, you got it over your whole body. Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? Actually, sorry, I shouldn't laugh. But in India, they don't like going out really far. And they were getting really upset how far out I was going and really worried. But then eventually, some of the young lads came out, some of the braver ones. And we had a great time in the waves. But one of the things I saw Sundar and Santi at their most frightened and upset was when a wave knocked Carl over. Do you remember that, Carl? So we're on the beach in the Bay of Bengal, and the waves were quite strong. Carl goes over, and Santi and Sundar, whoa! But because they don't like it. But yeah, some of the braver lads would join me, and we were standing there, and the waves were smashing on us, and it was just such joy. It felt great. It was warm. We were soaked. Oh, it was brilliant. Great fun. So you have to be in the right place. The waves are there all the time, but we're either not out far enough or we're too far out and we just don't feel the effect. So those blessings, I'm just trying to get pictures of those blessings are following us. I mean, Nunzi gave an analogy of a film today. How many times have you seen a film when you say, follow that cab? Sometimes they're right behind it, sometimes they're further back, sometimes they're way off, and then they get back in. Kind of, sometimes, even though somebody's being followed, they're not close behind. And I think sometimes, with this, surely and goodness will follow us all the days of our lives, we're either behind it, we're ahead of it, we're on the wrong road. Do you see where I'm trying to come from here? But it's not a works thing. It's an understanding thing. That's the way I see this verse. God's blessings and loving kindness are always there. But sometimes we've gone the wrong way. Sometimes we're far off. And we don't realize that they're there. They're always there. But if we're on the path, the right path, his goodness and loving kindness will crash over us and soak us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Final part of this psalm. When I started this study, Psalm 23, I said it's a really common psalm that you hear at funerals in Scotland. It's always that, or is it, it's the passage about, I will build a mansion for you. Is that John? Yeah. And it's about the afterlife. And this whole psalm is read as an encouragement at a funeral, but the encouragement is, your loved one is now okay, and he's in the house of the Lord, and he, she is going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And yeah, that is encouraging. And that's the only thing I've ever heard taught about this, about that passage. And it's not a bad truth. I mean, it's a pretty good truth. When you die, you're going to go to heaven. It's an encouragement. It's a comfort to the believer anyway. But I believe this passage is so much more than that. And this is what really, really encouraged me this week. When I read that, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, this is a present truth. This is a present reality for us right now. Not just a truth the other side of the grave. Not just that. I mean, you've heard me say many times that eternal life starts the second you're born again. That eternal life is not just something post-grave, after the grave. I think, is it Christian Aid said, we believe in life before death. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, we believe in life after death as well, but I believe in life and life in abundance before death. See, God wants us to have a good life this side of the grave, doesn't he? John 10:10, linked in with Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the abundant life psalm. John 10:10 wants us to come to have life and life more abundantly. And remember, this is a picture about shepherds and sheep. So what's this got to do What happens to the sheep when they die? Do they go to live in the house of the Lord forever? No, they're mutton curry. Or, you know, what's the picture? What's the picture here about sheep and about shepherds? Because this is supposed to be a picture of us with Jesus as our good shepherd. What can we learn about that? Well, to dwell means many things in Hebrews. Properly, it means to sit down. But it also means to abide, to continue, to remain. Okay, so dwell is abide, continue, remain. That word house is really interesting, though. It comes from the root word to build. So the root word is to build. Not just a house, to build. And it can mean house, but get this, it can also mean household, family, fellowship. And in this context, talking about sheep, that of course means the flock. The sheep love their shepherd so much. They know they're going to get all the provision from him. They know he's going to provide everything they need. They don't need to wander. They just need to abide, to stay, to remain in the flock. And the flock that that shepherd has built is building. Go to Matthew 16. The Lord led me to this verse. This is when I got really excited when I was thinking about this passage, the final passage, as an exhortation to you guys, an exhortation to the church. Matthew 16, let's read from verse 15. Jesus says, "And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What does Jesus say? I will build my church. What's the church? Us. His people. The family. The fellowship, the flock. If a shepherd is worth his salt, the sheep feel protected, they are happy, they're satisfied, and they stay in the flock. They have got all they need, no requirement to wander and try and find things for themselves. That final statement in Psalm 23 is a declaration for us to stay in the church, to stay in the body, to stay in fellowship, to stay in his house that he is building here on earth. It's a wonderful revelation. To stay within his protection, within his guidance, within his goodness, within his loving kindness. And why would we not want to do that after we've just read Psalm 23? Why would we want to wander off? Of course we want to dwell, remain, abide, stay in the family, in the fellowship, in the flock. Of course we'd want to do that. Hallelujah. Upon the completion of Psalm 23, David has made this commitment to the covenant God made with him, to stay under his wing, his security, look to him for guidance and counsel, help and advice, to stay within his family for his provision. And that is what we can and should do when we read that final passage in Psalm 23. But just realize that what we have is so much better. David didn't have the church. David didn't have the flock, the fellowship. Sean already kind of alluded to that this morning. We're not in this alone. Yes, you can go to the Word, you can go to the Holy Spirit, you can go to God, but you can go to each other. I mean, we're now allowed to meet outdoors. You guys know I like a walk. I've already had a few. You know, let's get out and walk and have chats. And as from Monday, we'll be able to go back to Batchin Street Coffee. Hallelujah. Get the best coffee in town. Sorry, that was just an advert. There we go. You know, we can get together. You don't need to be alone. Come on, we all have phones. We all can get on Zooms. We can all do WhatsApp. We can, heaven forbid, if we don't want to do it on social media, we can now meet. Hallelujah. We're there for one another. We're part of the flock. We're part of the church. The church is the most important organization and institution on the face of the earth. It was what God put in place for us to thrive and develop and be blessed, and more importantly, be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. This last passage there, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's nothing to do with life after death, I don't think. It's about life now. Traditionally, we've understood it as it's life after death. No, it's life now. It's about abundant life before death. And that's been a common theme throughout the whole of Psalm 23, hasn't it? It's all about abundant life. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you.